to these scriptures, grasp what they say, it will instruct us and enable us to go to other scriptures if you will accept at face value what they say. Look at verse 5. And the Lord brought him forth, Abram, and said, look now toward heaven, and number the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him for righteousness. This is a classic verse in the Old Testament. Genesis 15:6. The book of Romans is based upon it. Galatians is based upon it. So please notice, in 15:6 it says, Abram believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Now, 1 Samuel, chapter 3. First Samuel 3, verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Simple enough. Again, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, look at verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In verse 7, the Lord is unknown, unrevealed, but verse 19, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And eventually, verse 21, it says, the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, Luke chapter 19, verse 5, this is the incident about Zacchaeus. I simply want to read these verses to set the background. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, he is gone into lodge with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today shalt thou be with me. Today is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 9 again. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house. And one last scripture, let's look in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Now, there was a certain man in Caesarea, Cornelius by name, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision openly, as it were about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in unto him and saying to him, Cornelius. And he says, what is it, Lord? And look at verse 5. Now, send men to Joppa and fetch one Simon, who is surnamed Peter. Turn over to chapter 11 for the sake of time. Chapter 11, verse 13. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, again we praise you for your word. Thy word is truth. We recall the desire of David who said that thou mayest be justified. We are thankful that what we say that comes from thy word is that which justifies thee. We are aware that there are men who blaspheme thee, who disregard the Holy Scriptures. But our Father, we would ask, what saith the Scripture? So, by the Spirit who gave them, interpret them, we pray. We are thankful for all who are here. Would you prepare their hearts, and may they receive from thee light, and may they not be disobedient to the light that comes from heaven through thy word. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Bless us in power and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Some who were here at the 10 o'clock hour know what I said about the subjects I'm to speak on this month, but some of you do not know. The subjects are salvation, assurance, and the relationships that arise out of the salvation that is ours. And so, I was speaking today about the ins and outs of salvation. I spoke at 10 o'clock about the outs of salvation, and I announced that I would speak on the ins of salvation this hour. And that is what I want to do. I have to give a little review. I was saying this about the scriptures as well as men, thinking that there are many people that we would never expect to be in heaven that are going to be there. And the scriptures teach that there are many people who are not going to be in heaven that we would expect to be there. The scripture teaches both of those things. I've heard people say that, and then I read the scriptures. I cannot go over all of this again. I read the scriptures showing you that this was true, that some you would expect to be there. The Savior said, you'll find the sons of the kingdom cast out. I expected you to be there. The sons of the kingdom are going to be cast out. And now, there are some that you would never expect to be there who are going to be found there. From the example that I've read to you from the Old and New Testament, there are some that we read of that you would think were already in the kingdom, but God tells us they are not in the kingdom. And there were some who were outside the kingdom that you would never think were going to get inside the kingdom, but they do. And I spoke of three this morning. I spoke of Cain, I spoke of Balaam, I spoke of Korah. Three that you would think were in the kingdom, but they were out of the kingdom. And yet God gave them time. Each one of them he gave time to enter the kingdom, but they did not avail themselves of that opportunity. Cain is entreated by the Savior. He says, I have rejected you and your sacrifice. He said, however, if you do well, then you shall be accepted. That's God's grace. He had done wrong, but God said, I'm going to give you another chance. If you do well, you shall be accepted. Your countenance will be lifted up. But Cain never did well. Yet he was worshiping God. And in the act of worshiping God, he found out that God had rejected him. And some of you this morning, not when you're away in sin, but when you're in this house dedicated to the glory of God, in God's house, you can find out here that you're lost, rather than when you're out in the world, like unto that younger son who was in the far country. Some find out in the far country that they're lost, but some find out in the act of worship that this is not true worship. God is not seeking worshipers. God is seeking worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God does not want empty, vain worship. He wants worship that is of such a nature, He wants to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. But Cain was not one who worshipped Him in spirit and in truth. And he never agreed to worship God in spirit and in truth. He said to God, I'll worship you the way I want to, but I'm not going to change and worship you the way you want me to. So here was one worshiping God whom we would have thought to be in the kingdom. But he was outside of the kingdom. And in the New Testament, this one who is worshiping God is Satan. It said Cain was of the evil one, the wicked one. As the Savior says in John 8, you are of your father the devil, and Cain is of his father the devil. Understand, we see Satan in the serpent tempting Eve. But somehow Satan has gotten to Cain, the first creature born of our first parents, and has encompassed him. And Cain belongs to Satan. God tells us that. Yet he's worshiping God. Do you realize that you could be a child of the devil and yet worshiping God? You say that's a contradiction. There are so many things that are contradictions. That is why I read you clearly from the scriptures. And that's why I told you that you'll find that Cain was of the evil one. And I'll show you that Abel was righteous. The Savior says in Matthew 23, from the blood of Abel, the righteous. So he was righteous. Cain, satanic. God tells us those things. So remember this, that some we think are in the kingdom are not in the kingdom. God gives them an opportunity to enter the kingdom. They do not avail themselves of that opportunity. And even though they can look upon their past and say, I worshiped you, I brought you gifts, the Lord Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And that is why you should examine your souls this morning. Because some of the choicest sinners of those who are in church. Think of the joy of Satan having one worshiping God, but Satan knows that his heart belongs to him. Think of Judas Iscariot sitting with the apostles, with the Savior, just before he institutes the Lord's Supper. And it says the devil had put it into his heart. And then it says Satan entered into his heart. Think of the joy of Satan having those in the presence of the true people of God, and Satan owns them and possesses them. You may be one of those this morning. That's what I was challenging them about earlier. I wish you had been here. I cannot tell you about those things. But understand that there are some whom you would think to be on the inside, and yet they are on the outside. God in His grace gives an opportunity for those on the outside to come into the inside, that some such as Cain do not avail themselves. That's all I can tell you about Cain and those for now. Perhaps more later, we shall see. But I'm telling you about the end of salvation. Think now. I read you about Abram. His name was Abram, changed to Abraham, so we'll call him Abraham. There was Sarai, her name was changed to Sarah. We're going to call her Sarah. It says in Genesis 12 that God revealed himself to Abraham, challenged him to leave his country and his kindred and go to a place that he knew not of. And Abraham obeyed God. That's Genesis 12. Well, let me ask you. When Abraham obeyed God in Genesis 12, was he righteous? Of course not. I read you in Genesis 15 that Abraham became righteous when God made a different promise, and it says he believed God and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. I would have thought that all of those years, the 10 years when God was communing with Abraham, making promises to Abraham, that he was a child of God, in possession of the righteousness of God, but he was devoid of righteousness. You must understand that. You say, how can it be? Because God said it was that way. And I'm going to show you from the instance of Abraham and the others of whom I read as well, that among these you think they are in the kingdom, but they are not in the kingdom. And some you would say they are out of the kingdom and will never get in the kingdom, but those who were on the outside, unlike Cain, they did get on the inside. So remember that. So you should examine yourself. For the simple reason, if you say, I'm on the outside, it's evident you need to get on the inside. You say, I am on the inside. You may think you are, but you may be on the outside. I assure you that your credentials are not equal to Abraham, and your credentials are not equal to Cornelius. And they, with their credentials, were unrighteous and were unsaved and were on the outside. That is what you need to know. For that reason, if I ask you, have you been born again? Tell me exactly when you were born again. The old brethren used to demand it. You could come up and say, I'm a Christian. They would say, you are. When did it happen? Oh, when I was young. When did it happen? Well, and if you couldn't tell them, they would not accept your testimony. That may be good, because the Bible speaks about those who knew when they were saved. Paul said, why, this brother was in Christ before me. Then he knew when he became in Christ. He knew that this man was in Christ before he was. And that is what you should know. And I can tell you precisely when I was saved. March the 27th, 1946, San Pedro, California. I'll tell you where I was. I say that. However, if you had known me as a child and had seen me go up with my mother and submit to baptism to join the church, you would have said, that is when you became a Christian. Had you seen me singing hymns to God as a child, you would say, he is a Christian. But I tell you, I became a Christian March the 27th, 1946, years later. You say, how is that? The same way that when Abraham was called, he was 75 years old. And if you read it as I do, you will find that he had a relationship with God for 10 years before, in Genesis 15, he believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And so if you say, well, when did God start having his dealings with you, and did you become aware of God dealing with you? I say, oh, since my youth. When did you become a child of God? That is a different matter. I told you twice. That is when I became a child of God. Now, it may very well have been that I was a child of God before, but from examining the scriptures, this is what I discover. It is better not to presume upon what dealings God has had with you in the past and say, oh, that is when I became a Christian. Yes, I think that I am a Christian. Yes. No. Could Abraham say, God has spoken with me. God has made promises to me. I am righteous. God would say, you are not righteous. You are not. And in like manner, I could say, I joined a church. I was baptized. I sang hymns and praises to God. I'm a Christian. God would say, you are not a Christian. And so it is not the dealings that God has with you, but there was a time, a specific time, perhaps known only to God. Some of us know it better. That's specifically known to God. And I'm thankful for the instances that God gives us. Because you might contend with me, but you cannot contend with me. Because God says he believed and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Do you reckon righteousness to a man who already has it? You say, no. Then he was unrighteous. And if he reckoned it unto him for righteousness, that is the time that he did it. Now, another explanation. Do you realize that in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out. You say, there you are. There you are indeed. It says, by faith he became a sojourner. Oh, by faith, when God said, offer up your only begotten son. You say, well, it mentions faith three times. Yes, but it does not mention the Genesis 15 faith. That is mentioned in Romans chapter 4, which means this, that there are some acts of obedience to God that God does not reckon for righteousness. They are simply his dealings with you. But there comes a time known only to God when he commands you to do this. And when you believe God, at that time he reckons it unto you for righteousness. Now that is why I ask you, are you saved? You say you have faith. What kind of faith? Abraham had faith in Genesis 12. How do I know? By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. You say, but it wasn't justifying faith. No. And after he was justified, by faith, Abraham offered up his son. That's not justifying faith. No. Let me ask you this. When the Syrophoenician woman came beseeching our Savior for the blessing of her daughter, did she have faith? You say, yes. Saving faith? You say, no. Healing faith for her daughter? I see. When the centurion came and wanted his servant saved, was that saving faith? You say, no, that was the saving of his body. So a man can have faith in God's plans that he lays before him, and yet that is not salvation. And that is why there is a progress in the working of God in the heart of man that culminates in salvation if a man is obedient as God speaks to him. This is what it says in John 12. The Savior said, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. God gives light. You walk in the light. And he brings you to a certain place. And he says, believe this. And when you believe it, God says, justify. And so for that reason, you may have had relationships with God for years. But the time may not have come, as in the case of Abraham. And now, you who are children, I'm so thankful that God tells us plainly, here is little Samuel. He is assisting the priest in the house of God. You say, he's dedicated to God. Yes. And he's lost. God's word says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The Lord had not yet revealed himself unto him. You say, well, he didn't know the Lord? Of course not. And it says, in Shiloh, God revealed himself unto Samuel by the word. He made himself known unto Samuel Then you say, well, Samuel in Shiloh. Why, of course. You would have thought that Samuel was on the inside. He's a child. Look at that innocent. He did not know the Lord. There's no argument. God has said it in His Word. And it tells us that he grew. Now this is the progress that we make towards salvation. Salvation is something that occurs in a moment of time when that living faith is placed in what God sets before you. But it says, Samuel grew, and he let none of God's words fall to the ground. And God was speaking to him. And he was obeying everything that God had said. And finally the time came when God, through his word, revealed himself to Samuel. And Samuel knew the Lord. And he became a child of God. Do you see? And so for that reason, I tell you, I may have become a Christian earlier, but I think it was like Samuel. God had dealings with me as a child, but there was that time when God specifically revealed himself to me, and I believed his word. That is the thing that is important. So concerning salvation, this morning, the Lord challenged us. He said, wherefore, make your calling and election sure. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I was speaking about some who have heard from the scriptures. You know, there are going to be people in heaven that we would never expect to be there. I spoke about some who are saying, yes, and I may be one of those lucky ones. I may just turn up in heaven. God have mercy on you. To think that you will go through life and hope that someday I may be one of those lucky ones. You didn't expect to see me in heaven, but I may be one of those there. That is folly. What you do is, since both things are true, there are those who are going to be in heaven you never expected to be there. But also, there are going to be those missing in heaven you expected to be there. What I'm going to say is, Lord, I may be one of those who would be missing. I'm going to make my calling and election sure. I'm going to examine myself whether I am in the faith. That is the thing to do. And so, as I look back over my life, yes, Lord, I went to church. I've read the Bible. I sang songs of praise. I joined the church. I was baptized. I've examined all of that. My calling and election is unsure. But I remember when, as a guilty sinner, I trusted completely in the precious blood of Christ, drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. And then I passed from death unto life. And that's the only time that I know for sure that I passed from death to life. And it was the only time that God justified Abraham, not in chapter 12, 13, or 14 of Genesis, but in chapter 15. And not when Samuel dressed as a priest's assistant and served God in the temple, but when God revealed himself unto Samuel. That's when he knew the Lord. Before, he did not know the Lord. And perhaps here, some of you are going to say, but I thought, that is why the Bible says, make your calling and election sure. You have to give all diligence. And there must be an examination, not of something like I might have said, well, when I was 12, I joined the church and was baptized. That's not making your calling and election sure. That is simply looking upon some outward visible thing that in the sight of God is meaningless unless the Spirit of God brought it about through faith in your heart. This is what God wants you to know. So let me tell you about these now. I told you of two that you thought would be in the kingdom, but they were not in the kingdom. But thank God that when the Lord spoke to Abraham, it says this, by faith he went out, by faith he became a sojourner. It means that his whole life, perhaps 10 years, he was a sojourner doing what God told him to do until God brought him to that place in Genesis 15. And God said, now, Abraham, he said, look to the heavens and number the stars if you be able. He said, I'm going to give you seed to that magnitude. And it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. You see, he had been in faith, going out, wandering, but this was the faith saved. Now, you may have been exercising acts of faith in God. Your children may have been sick. And some would say, I know I belong to God, and I know that God is my Father, because my little one was sick, and I prayed to God, and God raised him up. And my husband was out of job, and I prayed to God for a job, and God gave him a job. All of those things are good. I told you that by faith Abraham went out. He became a sojourner. I told you that the Syrophoenician woman had faith in Christ to heal her daughter. But none of these things mean that they had faith for the saving of the soul. That's the faith that is important. And the Savior said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. You say, I say, Lord, Lord, that's no assurance that you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But at the same time, there are some who curse and blaspheme the name of the Lord, and they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. That is why I read you about Zacchaeus. So notorious was he as a traitor to the nation of Israel, being an extortioner as a tax collector, that when the Savior condescended to go and be with him at his house that day, the people looked at him and they said, that man is going to eat with one that is a sinner. He was on the outside. The Lord Jesus knew he was on the outside. And the people knew he was on the outside. And they did not think it was possible for him to get on the inside. But after it all ended, the Lord Jesus said, today is salvation come to this house. Now, that day was Zacchaeus saved? You say, why? The day that the Savior said, today is salvation come to this house. For he also is a son of Abraham. You see, before, he had that national relationship. But he did not have that spiritual relationship. And that's what some of us think, that somehow these earthly relationships, those that are religious in our family that we can claim, we will lay hold on any straw that might take us to heaven. But that is worthless. But in the case of Zacchaeus, he was on the outside and they never thought he would get on the inside. But do you see how quickly he got on the inside? I told you with Abram, it took some 10 years before he was accounted righteous. But that one day when Christ went to Zacchaeus' house, the Savior said, today salvation comes to this house. And so for some, it may be that God secretly was working in their hearts, and we knew nothing about it. And it may be that God was secretly working in Zacchaeus' heart. There was that interest, I want to see Jesus, who he is. And that was the time, as in the case of Abram, when Abram was told, look up, and Zacchaeus had to look down, and Abram looked up and became justified, and Zacchaeus looked down and came down, and that day salvation came to his house. That's the important thing. Now, Cornelius, I assure you, that we must take God's word at face value. That is why I read to you from chapter 10 of Acts and chapter 11. Because concerning Cornelius, it said he was a devout man, one that feared God, one that gave money to God, one that prayed to God always. Think of those qualifications. A God-fearing man, a devout man, a generous man, a praying man. And there was no salvation. You understand? And you don't have those qualifications, and yet you are saying, I am a child of God. Are you devout? Are you God-fearing? Do you honor God actually by what you give him? Do you pray to God always? How much have you prayed this morning? How much communion have you had with God this morning? And it says that all of these qualifications were those of Cornelius, and he sends an did an angel speak to you today? The angel said, Cornelius, send and fetch Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he will speak to you words whereby thou shalt be saved. Just as in the case of Abraham, who had been obeying God, going along for 10 years, and the time came when he was justified by faith. It was reckoned unto him for righteousness. So in like manner, Cornelius had been going along with God all this time. And the Lord said, as in the case of Abraham, so Cornelius, in this case, go to Peter. And while Peter was preaching his message, Abraham believed God when God spoke to him, and Cornelius believed the words that Peter was speaking to him, and the word from God, understand this. You say the word from God, righteousness, yes. But the word from God spoken through a man, Peter, words whereby thou shalt be saved. It does not matter whether God speaks them directly or whether they are spoken through one of his vessels. The words of God are those that convert the soul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is what happened to Cornelius. And Cornelius could say, I was saved during the sermon that Peter was preaching. And immediately, he was baptized. Now, I've given you examples of salvation, the inside and the outside. Salvation in and out. Those that you would think were inside, and they were, visibly. But the Savior said, the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out. And those that you would think were irrecoverably outside, such as Zacchaeus. Yet, the Savior said, today the salvation comes to thy house. And one worse than that. In Luke chapter 23, there is a thief who has been blaspheming, cursing, railing upon the name of Christ. But he came to himself and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. And the Savior said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. But that is drawing it very close. But understand that there are those that it takes years until they come to that day. There are those that, like Zacchaeus, this specific day. And there are those, like the thief on the cross, who to their dying day reject Christ. But they call upon the name of the Lord, and they are saved. Salvation, in and out. Whatever you are, make sure that in God's way, in genuine faith, you are in the faith. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that salvation is of the Lord, and you have told us in your word about this salvation. We confess, our God, that we would give different interpretations upon the lives of men, that you have saved us from that blunder, and you have interpreted their lives for us. We thank you. We are thankful that with some who are here, perhaps you've had dealings with them, but they are not saved. They've not had righteousness reckoned to them. And yet, there are others who, in a moment of time, as Zacchaeus, as the thief on the cross, they trusted the Lord. But let us not be foolish, our God. But we pray that in your long suffering, having told us the way of salvation, we shall embrace that salvation and know that we pass from death unto life. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.